Now turn, if you will, to John chapter 13. Now, you heard the scripture which I read. It's no new passage. Most of you are quite familiar with this passage of scripture. The disciples with their Lord were met to keep the Passover. Supper was ended, and the Lord Jesus Christ arose and laid aside his garments. And he took a huge towel and wrapped himself in that towel. It says, after that he poured water in a basin. And then he began one by one to wash the disciples' feet. Now it's true that the Lord was teaching the disciples a lesson in humility. There's no question about that. He was teaching them a lesson in humility and service. For when he had finished washing the disciples' feet, he put his garments back on and sat down. And look at verse 12. The last line, he says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Now you call me Master and Lord, and you say, "Well, so I am." He is the Master. He is the Lord. He's the supreme King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no authority beyond his authority. There's no glory beyond his glory. There's no majesty beyond his majesty. He is Master and Lord. You say, "Well, so I am." You're beneath me in position, in power, in glory, in all things. No question about that. And then he said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, I've taken the place of the servant." You know the custom. People wore sandals or walked barefooted. And when they came in off the street, if you came into any kind of home at all, they provided a servant. The master of the house didn't wash the feet. The wife didn't do it. And the sons and daughters didn't do it. They had a servant who met you at the door and provided water for you to wash your feet, or he washed them for you and dried them. You came in and presented your feet, and they were washed and dried, and you left your sandals at the door and walked in the house. In fact, the master rebuked Simon the Pharisee because he gave him no oil for his head and no kiss of greeting and no water to wash his feet when he came into his home. So the master here said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet." There's no place in the kingdom of God for Mr. Big. No place in the family of God for Mr. Important or Mrs. Important. Anything that brings glory to the flesh, anything that sets us apart as somebody or something, is not of God. It's not for the glory of God, and it's not of God. "He that would be greatest among you, let him be your servant." That's what our Lord said, and that's what he was doing. He was showing them that he that would be greatest, let him be your servant. "Except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God." The Lord Jesus is destroying pride and arrogance and a haughty spirit and showing us how we ought to minister to one another. Now, we ought to take the lowest place and do the lowest jobs, render the lowest service. That's what he's showing us here. There's no question that he's teaching his disciples a lesson in humility, a lesson I need to learn, a lesson you need to learn, a lesson preachers and elders and deacons and teachers and everybody in the family of God needs to learn, that the little toe in the body is just as important as the eye or the ear, though it doesn't render the same service. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 16, "Verily I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know these things, happy are you if you do them." Now, that is true. So let's pick that up and lay it aside now. That's not the only reason this scripture is written. There's something bigger here. There's something of greater importance here. There's an even greater lesson here, which, if learned, will produce this humility. Our Lord is giving the disciples a lesson in humility here, but there's a greater lesson which, if learned, will produce it. It will be as spontaneous as pride used to be. The natural man cannot produce love. He cannot produce grace. He cannot produce faith. He cannot produce humility. But there's an operation of grace, if present in his heart, if ever produced in his heart, will present these things. They will result. And if we can learn the greater lesson here. In fact, in verse 7, the Lord said, Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but you shall know hereafter. In other words, Peter got the lesson on humility. He knew that. The Lord showed him that. So that's not what the Lord's talking about here. Peter saw the outward, that as to the literal washing, he knew exactly what the Lord... He knew the Lord was washing the disciples' feet. That's the reason he rebelled. He didn't feel that the Lord, being the master and the king, ought to be washed. He said, do you wash my feet? He saw what was taking place. He knew what was taking place. But the Lord is saying there's something to be taught here, Peter, that you don't know. There's something taking place now that you, of which you're not aware. There's a truth being taught here that you haven't yet learned. That's what he's saying to Peter. Peter could understand the outward washing, but he couldn't understand the inward meaning. Peter could understand the teaching of humility. He could see the Lord down there washing the feet of the disciples, taking the place of a servant. And he could see that. That's perfectly obvious. That's an easy lesson to learn. In the head, anyway. It's not an easy lesson to imitate, but easy lesson to memorize. And that's the reason people have foot washing, feet washing. What do they call it? Feet or foot washing? Doesn't matter. But the reason they wash feet in churches. They've learned the outward. They understand that. That's evident. They show their humility. But there's something bigger here. And let's see if we can find out what it is. Also, remember this. The feet of Judas were washed too. He washed Judas's feet too, along with all the rest. So there's something here greater than just the outward symbol. All right? Let's see what it is. All right, he came to Peter. He had laid aside his garment, and he had girded himself with a towel, a huge towel. And the Master, the King, the Lord of glory, stooped down and began to wash the feet of his disciples one at a time. And he came to Peter. And I can see Peter sitting there in the chair, amazed at all of this, stunned, astounded. He hadn't said anything up until now. The Lord started. I don't know how many were in front of Peter. One, two, three, or four. It doesn't matter. But finally he came to Peter and set that basin of water down in front of Peter. And Peter pulled his feet back and he said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord said, now, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand what I'm doing. You will. You will understand sooner or later. You will understand, but you don't now. Well, he said, you'll never wash my feet. Never. Now, here's what I want you to see. Verse 8, Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. And the Lord said, Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. That's what the verse says. Whatever revealed here is pretty serious. If I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. Now, what's written for Peter here is written for us. And it'd do well for us to find out what he's talking about. So I'm going to divide it into three parts and see if I can help us. Number one, what do you mean, having a part with Christ? Secondly, what was essential to having a part with Christ? And then thirdly, why is this essential? First of all, if I don't wash you, you have no part with or in me. I believe I can say the one great object of my desire for myself and for you is to have a part with Christ. Not just a part in religion or a part in the church or a part in doctrine and theology. Everybody's got religion. Religion, we're in the midst of a religious revival in this world, in this nation. But I want to have a part in Christ. I want to have a part, first of all, in that covenant of mercy that Jeremiah talked about and Ezekiel talked about, don't you? Now, you can say what you will in defense of it or in defiance of it, but the Father hath given the Son a people. Now, that's a fact. Our Lord said, "All that my Father giveth me shall come to me." In John chapter 17, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, and He said, "I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me." And the Scripture talks all the way through about these people that the Father hath given to the Son in a covenant of grace. I want a part in that. It distresses me to think that I won't have a part in that covenant of mercy. And then I want a part in His righteousness. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians when he said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness." You know, a lot of preachers seem to emphasize the fact we be found in the right church, but the need is to be found in Christ. And some emphasize that we need to be found in the right theology. Well, but isn't it more important to be in Christ? And not having our own righteousness, but being clothed upon with His holiness. I just don't want to be found naked in that day and hear the king say, How'd you get in here without a wedding garment? Cast him out. I want to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, clothed in the wedding garment of His righteousness. Don't you? A part in Christ. I want a part in His death. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." He made an atonement for somebody. Hebrews says that He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I want to share in that sin-removing sacrifice. I want to have a part in His first resurrection. He says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." I want a part in His effectual intercession. He turned and said, "Peter, I've prayed for you." Paul said, "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "He not only died for us, but He rose again. And not only rose again, but He maketh intercession for us." I want a part in that. I want a part in His eternal kingdom. I want Him to say to this thief, like He said to the other one, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I want to be a son like He's a son. I want to be an heir like He's an heir. I want to be accepted as He is accepted. I want to be glorified as He is glorified. I want a part in Christ. I want what He's talking about here, don't you? "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." This is a desire worthy of all that a man has, to be found in Christ. To be found in Christ. Now, it may be that some of us are satisfied with going through the motions. It may be that some are satisfied with finding a doctrinal system and lighting upon it and proving it and looking up Scripture that proves it. But I'm telling you, my friends, I want to be found in Him. I want to be found in Him. Having a part in His eternal covenant. Having a part in His blessed righteousness. Having a part in His sacrificial death. Having a part in His resurrection. Having a part in His intercessory glory, having a part in His eternal kingdom. I want to have a part with Christ. And according to this Scripture, there's one essential qualification. He said in verse 7, verse 8, Peter said, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And the Lord Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Here it is in plain language. He did not say, except you obtain a certain degree of holiness, you have no part with me. That's not what he said. Although I believe God's people will attain varying degrees of holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The presence of Christ produces the spirit of Christ, the attitude of Christ, the works of Christ. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, except you obtain a certain degree of holiness, you have no part with. He didn't say, except you wash in the pools of ordinances, except you keep the law. He said, except you be washed, I wash you, you have no part with me. Well, what is meant by this washing? Our Lord speaks of two washings. Simon Peter said, well, no, just wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hand, wash me all over. And Christ said, he that is washed, already washed, there's one washing, needeth not save to wash his feet, there's another washing. But through that first washing, he is cleansed totally, completely, every whit. And you're clean. All of you not clean. He didn't say it. He could have said it. Judas is not clean. He's not been redeemed. My blood made no atonement for him. He's not washed. He's not sanctified. But the rest of you are. And you just need your feet washed. So there are two washings here. If I don't wash you in a twofold way, you have no part with me. He said, Peter, you're already washed. Now I'm going to wash your feet. You're not going to wash my feet. If I don't wash you, wash your feet. You have no part with it. All right, here's the first one. No man has any part in Christ. And you think about this now. Who is not washed in his precious blood. That's the way sin is put away. That's the first washing he's talking about there. Our Lord came down here. The eternal Lord of glory left his Father's home, took on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He took on himself a human body. He went to the cross and shed his blood. And 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, washes us from all sin. That's the washing he's talking about. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let's turn over there and read this. Let's read two or three scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Now he talks in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6:9. He says, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit. You're washed. You're cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. It purified you. It sanctified you. It's made you holy and unblameable. Put away your guilt. Turn to Revelation 7:13. Look at this. Revelation 7:13. And one of the elders answered, Revelation 7:13, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Now look at Revelation 7:14. And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. John Donne led us in singing about it. Well, Savior, wash me in the blood. I shall be whiter than the snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That's the first. That's the washing he's done. That's the atonement. That's the effectual, sufficient, particular, redeeming, cleansing, sanctifying atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down here and his blood cleanseth us from all sin. All right, but there's this, he's talking about something else here now. He said, you are washed. Charlie said, you're washed. Now, Judas is not, he said, but you are. Peter, you're washed. But here he is about to wash Peter's feet. And we're not talking about the first washing. We're talking about this one, too. And Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Christ said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part in me. All right? No man has any part in Christ who's not washed in his blood. Right. No question about that. But no man has any part in Christ either who is not daily washed and daily pardoned and daily sanctified through daily faith in Christ. That's right. Now this does away with your little once-for-all decision and this little easy believism and this little walk the aisle and shake the preacher's hand, say you believe some facts and get it all fixed up and kiss God goodbye and meet him in heaven. That does away with that. That's what Christ is doing away with right here. The Old Testament priest. Let me show you an example. The Old Testament priest, Aaron, the sons of Levi. They were washed. The day came for the day, listen to me, the day of atonement or the sacrifice. And that priest was washed. He was purified. His whole body was washed, totally washed. He put on clean white linen. He was totally washed all over. Now he came to the tabernacle and the sacrifice was made. The lamb was slain, his body burnt. Now he's got the blood and he's going into the presence of the Lord. He's going into the Holy of Holies. What's the first thing he does? He stops at the brazen laver outside the tabernacle and washes his hands and his feet, right? He never goes inside that tabernacle. Now, he's already had a full bath. He's already washed completely. When he gets that sacrifice and starts in that tabernacle, he stops right there at that brazen laver, washes his hands and his feet, and never, ever enters without washing his hands and his feet. And this is what our Lord's saying to Peter in verse 10 and 11. He says, you are clean. He that is washed needeth not to wash again. You don't need. Sacrifice has been made. Christ has put away our sins. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has died for us. But he needs some washing. What does he need to wash? He needs to wash his feet. His feet. His feet is that which needs continual sanctification because it continually contacts this world. And there's a continual sanctification carried on within us by the Spirit of God. There's a daily communion which a believer in Christ has with his Lord. We are washed in the blood. We are redeemed by the blood. We are sanctified by the atonement of Christ. Our sins are put away. But daily walking through this world, there's a daily confession of sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a daily communion with Christ. There's a daily fellowship with Christ. There's a daily dependence upon Christ. There's a daily looking to Christ. And a man cannot claim salvation if that is not true. And this is something that I feel very deeply about, is when we have to get our binoculars and keep looking back down yonder 20 years ago when we made a profession or made a decision or joined the church or trusted Jesus. We have to get our telescopes and see if we can isolate on that spot back there when we made our decision. Did not the Lord wash your feet this morning? Did he not, in his sweet grace and mercy and forgiving spirit, minister to you and put away your guilt this very day, just very hour, just a moment ago? Did you not, just 5 minutes ago, a thought went through your mind that shouldn't have been there and you said, Lord, I'm sorry, I confess my sin. And did he not in sweet peace say, you're forgiven? Huh? You mean you walk through life without his mercy, without his forgiving hand, without daily confession?
No, sir, I'm sorry. Christ said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. This is what he said. He said, this is the reason he said, Peter, what I'm doing, you don't understand. And there's people here that don't understand what I'm talking about right now. Maybe most don't. I don't know. But I believe some of you do. We have been washed. Barnard used to preach on this when he used to say to us years ago, the old man had some brains. God gave him some spiritual brains. He said, if you have to go back an hour to prove you're saved, something's wrong. If you have to go back 20 years to prove you're saved, something's wrong. Aren't you in daily fellowship with a forgiving, merciful Lord? Aren't you a partaker and recipient of His grace every moment? Peter, you don't know what I'm doing. Well, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? Yes, I am. And you don't understand now, Peter, but you will later. Well, you'll never wash my feet. Well, if I don't, you won't have any part in me. Well, Lord, wash me all up. But Peter, you're already washed. You're already clean. But Peter, don't you see your feet? They're not clean. I have to wash them every day. Every day. There's got to be a renewal of our fellowship and a renewal of your faith and a renewal of your dependence and a renewal of my mercy and a renewal of my grace every moment. Constantly, constantly. Now, you do some thinking. Don't throw this out without thinking. And this is what disturbed me about folks that can go week after week and not find their way to the place of worship. I don't know how that can be. I don't know. I don't know how we can go day after day after day with content with dirty feet. How we can sleep in peace with dirty feet. How we can walk on and on and on and look back. Well, I've been washed. Yeah, but does your living God let you come into His presence with dirty feet? Aren't you a priest? Yeah, I'm a priest. Well, the priest always stopped at the brazen laver. Always, without exception. He didn't presume on the grace of God. He washed his feet. I don't know. Can you live without prayer? Can you live without intercession? Can you live without God's mercy every moment? If I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. You may have you a little Jesus, and you may have you a God, and you may have you a salvation all fixed up, but it's not this one here, because he said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. The Lord washed me all over. I've already washed you all over. That's sufficient. But you need daily sanctification. Now, why? All right. Last, why? Why is this washing so essential? Now, the world's full of people who speak well of Jesus Christ and admire Him who want no part of two things, substitution and sanctification. They want no part of either one of them. Oh, they admire Jesus as the... You work with them. They're deacons in Baptist churches and Methodist churches, they're stewards, and Presbyterian churches, they're elders. You do business with them. They're all over this town. They admire Jesus Christ. He set a good example. They admire Jesus Christ. He was a great preacher. They admire Jesus Christ. He's a great healer. And every time they get sick, they say, pray for me. Ask God to heal me. They believe in His healing power. I'm trusting the prayers of the good Christian people. Y'all, everybody down at church, pray for me. Yeah, that's your only hope. They admire Jesus Christ, the healer. They admire Jesus Christ, the moralist, the great reformer. They don't have any use for Jesus Christ, the substitute, the cross, the blood, and the sanctifying power, the holy power, the life-changing power of that cross. They want nothing to do with that total commitment. Now listen to this. Now let me show you an example. This is a good example right here. Peter, he spoke highly of Christ. Our Lord said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's good, Peter. That's great.
If I don't wash you, you won't have any part with me. I don't care how highly you acclaim my name. I'm going to have to wash you, Peter.
Peter walked on water. I hear people say about proving somebody's a Christian. Well, he won 25 souls to Jesus. Peter walked on water. Will he heal this one? Peter walked on water.
And the Lord still said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part.
Tell you something else about Peter. He had a view of Christ's glory. He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Christ glorified, transfigured with Moses and Elijah. And he was so impressed, he wanted to build 3 tabernacles. Oh, he was full of zeal and enthusiasm.
But Christ said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me.
Peter also had great confidence. You say, well, these people are so sure they're going to heaven. He was sure too. He said, the Lord said, you're going to deny me. He said, not me. Now, these other fellows, they all might leave you, but not Peter. I'll be with you, Lord, to the death.
Peter, you got a lot of confidence, but if I don't wash you, you don't have part with me. It all comes down to this thing, if I don't wash you.
And you can speak well of Christ, the example. You can speak well of Christ, even the King. You can speak well of Christ, the healer and the preacher and all of these things, but it still comes down to this.
It comes down to the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. You'll never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross you miss. Christ, if he's not a Savior, he's nothing. If he's not a Redeemer, he's nothing. If he's not a substitute, he's nothing. If he's not a sacrifice, he's nothing. If he's not a sin offering, he's nothing. And you take him and do away with him. I don't want any part of it. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I've got to have a sin offering. I've got to have a substitute. I've got to have the blood of God to make me whole. And I want no part of a sacrifice-less religion, a bloodless religion. But this world, they want Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the example, Jesus, the moralist, Jesus, the reformer, Jesus, the preacher. But it's Christ, the substitute, and Christ, the sanctifier. That's right. There are 3 reasons why Christ has to wash us. He has to wash us because our sins demand that we be washed. Joe, our sins are corrupt, filthy, putrid. God said your righteousness is filthy rags. You need to be washed. You may be the most moral, righteous woman in this congregation, but in God's sight, you're on the same level as a harlot. None better, none good, no, not one. You may be the most reputable, honest man as far as men go in this congregation, but in God's sight, you are as wicked as anybody this side of hell because you're in the flesh. And in the flesh, no man can please God. And you need to be washed. You need to be washed not only because your sins demand it, but God's character demands it. God's righteousness demands it. God's justice demands it. He will be just. And if he's going to be just and justifier, he's going to have somebody wash us, that his holy law might be honored and his holy justice might be satisfied. We must be washed. And what I do now, he said, you don't understand. Peter did later. Of course, humility is here, and God give us the grace to see it. But there's some washing here. There's some washing. There's the effectual washing of his blood, the substitute, the cleansing of his blood. I've washed you, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But there's the washing of water, the feet, the daily sanctification, the daily prayers, the daily fellowship, the daily purging, the daily cleansing. That's what he said. And Peter, if I don't wash you in the blood, you don't have any part in me. And Peter, if I don't wash you in the water, water and blood. The blood and the water flowed from his side. Be of sin. Watch it now. The double cure, Top Lady wrote, Save me from its wrath and its power. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save me from its wrath and its power. You see what I'm saying? I hope you see what I'm saying, because Christ said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part in me. Now, we can preach substitution, but we must preach substitution and sanctification together. We must preach the wrath of God being cleansed from it and the power of sin. We must preach not only that a man looks to Christ, but he keeps on looking to Christ. It's not just, now, all you got to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. It is a believing in Christ that saves. Ask and it shall be given you. You read that in the Scripture. Keep on asking. Keep on looking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. This repentance and faith is not an isolated act. No, sir. And I just tell you, I think we're going the wrong, modern evangelism is going the wrong way when it talks about this is your hour of decision. Now, the next one will be too. And so will the next one, and so will the next one, and so will the next one. Keep on looking to Christ. Being washed and being washed. What did Paul say when he came to the end of life? The time of my departure is at hand. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Our Father in heaven, we need to be taught. We're so simple-minded. We want everything fixed up and handed to us. We don't want to search. We don't want to seek. We don't want to dig. Oh Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that's never fully satisfied. Enable us to say with the psalmist of Israel, I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Give us a panting after God, a hunger and a thirst for God. O Lord, cleanse us, wash us in the blood, and daily sanctify us. Make Christ to be the beat of our hearts and the thought of our minds and the conversation of our tongues and the path in which we walk. Use this message for whatever it pleases you. And bless tonight in the service here in Madisonville, Louisville, where thy word is preached, in Christ's name. Amen. Don, you come and lead us in song.
Number 240.